Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Did Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell strike a dovish balance at the Jackson Hole Symposium last Friday? Well, there's a case to be made for it, with the Fed chair stating that while asset purchases may start to be tapered within the year, this will not mean that rate hikes will follow immediately after the former is completed. Will this mean smoother waters for markets in the coming days? And how might this impact banks in the region across the world? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're pleased to be joined by Mr. Harsh Modi, who is the co-head of Asia ex Japan Banks Research at JP Morgan. He, like many others in the investment space, were eagerly awaiting the remarks from Fed Chair Jerome Powell. And he's here to share with us his thoughts on how this might shape things for markets and banks in the weeks and months ahead. Mr. Modi, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these uncertain times. And we welcome to the show, sir. Happy Monday, if I may call it that.
Thanks, JP. Thanks for having me on the show. Great to speak to you.
I mean, a lot of things that Fed Chair Jerome Powell outlined at his much-awaited speech at the Jackson Hole Symposium last week. And as we mentioned, maybe markets were caught a little bit by surprise, but a pleasant surprise at that from his more dovish tinge, actually. What are your thoughts and impressions from what he outlined? And if there were any key takeaways that you took to be more important than others?
Yeah, so I think, as you rightly said, the conversation was a bit more on the dovish side. Our economists expect November or December FOMC is when we get announcement of taper. And to me, the more important bit was reaffirmation of the view that it is tapering and it's not tightening. Hmm. And hence, the comparisons with the previous episode probably is not as similar. And I think that was a very important and the most important bit in some senses, because if you kind of go back to 2013, market overall kind of took tapering to mean advent of tightening, and Fed Chair went a long way in addressing that fear. So I think that was the most important bit, and I think it all goes back to inflation and growth and unemployment. That combination as we go forward.
Do you think that he was able to strike that balance between not sounding too hawkish and actually making sure that markets were fairly assuaged? As we know, based on lessons from the taper tantrum in 2013, as you alluded to, communication and getting the message right is key. Do you think he succeeded on that front?
I think if you look at the market movement, it definitely suggests that the message was taken in the spirit that it was intended.
Regardless, sooner or later, the Fed is expected to start tightening monetary policy. You know, on one hand, we might see tighter monetary policy push rates higher, which could mean that fee incomes for banks will go up. On the other hand, though, these asset purchases from central banks provided support to banks and their bonds. Overall, is tapering or going to be good for banks in the region and the world based on what you're seeing, Harsh?
Right. So if you look at in our part of the world, impact is going to be not as imminent, I would say, because if you think about what tapering is, the central bank is, Fed is going to buy lesser amount of bonds, but they are still going to keep buying bonds for a while. So it's just that the extent of bond buying has slowed down, asset purchases have slowed down. And over, let's say, next few quarters and months, that is where the trend is. But there's huge amount of liquidity. So the need for liquidity is not as much as it was, let's say, 18 months ago. And hence, we do not see that as tightening at all. Mm-hmm. Now, the other part of it is, yes, you're right, ultimately there will be tightening. But will it be in response to high inflation or high growth? If it is in response to high growth, then especially in our part of the world with the supply chain linkages, we see a very significant benefit to the economic conditions, to loan growth, to ability to price and the demand for credit and so on and so forth. So if higher rates, whenever they are in response to better growth, it is net positive. If it so happens that it is higher rates are due to high inflation and low growth, that seems like quite a low probability event, and that's not at least as of now, the base case scenario.
Harsh, I do want to get your thoughts on how this might apply to, say, regional banks. As we know, the economy in the U.S. is starting to recover, a lot of these major economies showing signs of recovery. But in the last couple of months, the recovery in Southeast Asia itself has been called into question. High inflation has been there, but there's also signs of economic growth starting to be really challenged and being whittled away as we see the uncertainty from the COVID-19 pandemic continue. Do you think that there are any pressures, at least, or any unique challenges that central bankers in the region might have to face? And what will that mean then for financial institutions in Southeast Asia?
That's a fair point. Definitely, we have had the latest variant infection curve inflecting, and it did have an impact on economic growth. And you're seeing that in all the banks' results and commentaries across the region. But this is most likely going to be cyclical, and we have had waves of economic slowdown, which has lasted for a while, but then we have seen a reasonably impressive rebound across economies. And I think that pattern is not going to be different, and that's what our expectation is as well, which let's say, give it, depending on which market we're talking about, a month or three, and then we should start getting a reasonable improvement in economic activity. So as that happens, the bank stock should fall. Now, what we are starting to see, more importantly, is bank stocks have already corrected in most of the markets where we are seeing a revival in the infection curve. So over the next 2-3 months, in fact, banks are probably in ASEAN in particular are very well positioned to meaningfully re-rate as some of the economic revival starts coming through. So banks, in some senses, are one of the best, what I would call a reopening trade, especially in emerging ASEAN.
Mm-hmm. You know, overall, though, the outlook for lenders in the region, and you might even argue across the world, is quite rosy, with conditions improving, and some might even argue, more importantly, that finally dividends are going to be restored. We've seen hints of that. In fact, banks here in Singapore also laying out a path to restoring their dividends and recent earnings, actually. Is this going to be smooth sailing for the banks moving forward, or are there still some risks that banks have to be wary of, perhaps from the past or even new ones that are emerging, Harsh?
So you're absolutely right. The capital management has started across banks. We are seeing Singapore Bank started paying interim. Some of the Thai banks did. Malaysian banks are reporting results as of now. They have started to pay. So we are seeing capital management coming to the fore, because banks had built a pretty impressive capital buffers getting into this crisis over the last 12, 18 months. So you're starting to see some payback, but we are not back to the normalized levels. And as a result of which, while dividends will go up, they're already going up, but it won't go back to completely business as usual in terms of meaningfully optimizing capital levels or moving the payout ratios close to peak levels, at least not as of now. Let's see. Once December comes and January, February, when the board sit and decide, if the economic outlook becomes really pretty good, then we may get another round of an improvement in payout. Otherwise, there will be capital management, but may not be to the same extent that, let's say, what we're expecting in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Well, finally, Harsh, before we let you go, a lot really has happened over the Jackson Hole Symposium. We've talked extensively about the banks, but what do you think will this mean for fintech trends going on globally and across the region? We've seen a lot of these fintech trends start to be adopted in much faster fashion, especially given the COVID-19 pandemic's push towards digital solutions. Share with us your outlook now for fintech trends moving forward, especially given the context of what Jackson Hole has laid out for us.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. That is probably the most topical aspect over the next couple of years. My sense is there are two cohorts of institutions who will win over the next 5 years. One are what I call the tech leader banks, these are the banks who are doing pretty well in terms of technology. Second is, are the challengers who may or may not have a banking license, but have been able to scale up their digital offering and their financial services, and are probably one of the biggest players in the market. Now, these players, the second set of players, now they have come under regulatory and licensing regime, but they need to address three main concerns, three main risk management challenges over the next 2 to 3 years. One is credit risk. Second is cross-selling. Are they able to do a good job? And third is what we're talking about, interest rate risk. Because as interest rates start moving up at some point in time, as financial conditions tighten, will these challenges be able to continue to grow their balance sheet and, more importantly, profitability as they go along? Because last 12, 18 months, the cost of funds have come down because liquidity was abundant. So that's something to look forward to in 2022-2023 as the financial conditions tighten. Absolutely one of the things which we are watching very closely.
All right. Harsh Modi, co-head of Asia ex-Japan Banks Research at JP Morgan. Thank you so much for spending some time to join us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about your outlook and your thoughts on Fed Chair Jerome Powell's recent comments at the Jackson Hole Symposium, and to share with us your updated outlook on both banks and fintech trends across the region. So always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. We look forward to next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, do stay safe and have a great Monday ahead, sir.
Thanks, JP, to you too. Have a good one.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.